that Jesus is love. He won't let you down. And I know
radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel radio serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Myself up for an example, but comparing me to me. The thing that keeps me going a whole lot of the time is that I know how to praise the Lord. So I want to give you some reasons why you ought to praise the Lord. First of all, tell your neighbor, praise reverences God. Amen. Praise gives reverence to God. Look again, if you will, in verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant and praise is fitting, praise is comely. Now, what that means is this: God created us not just to serve him, amen, because you know that if God really wanted somebody just to serve him, he could have created machines, if you will, to serve him. He could have used the angels, amen, who would probably do a better job than us. He could have chosen the angels to serve him. But God created everything living and non-living, to be a part of his praise team. Nudge your neighbor and ask him, are you a part of God's praise team? Well, since you're in the 147th number of the book of Psalms, I want you to just turn backwards to the 145th number of Psalms and look at verse 10. It says, all thy works will praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. That means, my brothers and sisters, that everything that God has created ought to give him praise. Angels ought to praise him. Human beings should praise him. The animal creatures praise the Lord. Even the inanimate objects praise the Lord. This great universe praises the Lord. Over in the book of Revelation, there are four creatures, four beasts that represents all of creation. Over in chapter 4 of Revelations in verse 8, It says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That's what's happening in heaven, y'all. They are praising the Lord. And we ought to be praising God here and now. You see, when a man curses and uses profanity, he really degrades God. That's what's wrong with profanity, because it's understood that every time you say a curse word, it is in some way intended to degrade God and who he is, or God's creation. But when a man praises, he exalts God. Do you know what the opposite of profanity is? It's praise. And y'all know we get upset when we hear God's name taken in vain. But I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you took his name in praise? We get upset when folk take his name in vain, but we ought to be serious about the business of taking his name in praise. We praise the Lord in direct proportion to what we think about it. Our word worship is really related to the word worth. And I said all the time that worship is really dependent upon worth-ship. In other words, before you can worship, you've got to have something or somebody that is worth worshiping. And I don't know how you feel about it. Amen. I've lived 52 years, and I've come to understand that the only somebody in all of the universe that is worthy of my praise and worthy of my worship is the God who woke me up this morning. I'm talking about the one who put food on my table and clothes. Maybe you thought you put the food there. Maybe you thought, amen, because you had to get up early and go to that job. Maybe you thought that you deserve the praise, but I believe I got two or three folk in here who understand that if God hadn't opened the door, if God hadn't made a way, if God hadn't given me health and strength, so he is worthy of my worship. Praise reverences God. But the second thing praise does is it refreshes the saints. Sometimes I get tired. And I've told you before, I don't get tired of the work, but I get tired in the work. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And to be honest, y'all, sometimes on Sunday, when I finally get home and get in my recliner, amen, I'm just emptied out. I really am. But to praise the Lord before I come into this pulpit, and I do it every time before I come out here, amen, it's instinctive in me that before I come and stand in this sacred place, I praise God on the way here, amen. As I leave the office on the way to the pulpit, I've got to whisper a praise unto God, because I figured out that praise refreshes my spirit. We ought to learn how to praise him. Look at verses 2 and 3, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It says, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. That tells me that there is a refreshing. There is a healing. There is a binding up of wounds that come when we praise God. What a marvelous thing. Therapy that is. I've told you before that God created man to praise him, and I've said this enough that you ought to know it by heart, that up in heaven there were three archangels. There was Gabriel, who was the archangel of the word. Whenever God wanted to send a word to his people, he would send Gabriel. And then I told you that there was another archangel, Michael, and you know Michael was the angel that God used anytime he wanted to fight or anytime he wanted to send destruction. He would call on Michael, who was the archangel of warfare. But then there was another archangel by the name of Lucifer. And you Bible readers know that Lucifer got the big head and started to thinking that he was better than God. And the Bible says that God kicked Lucifer out of heaven. God fired Lucifer, and that left an empty space. There was no one to lead the worship. And y'all know what God did, don't you? God said, I know what I'll do. I will create for myself a people who will worship me. I'm not going to lift up another angel to be the archangel over worship. God said, I'm going to stoop down on the banks of eternity and make for myself a people who will give me praise. And if you didn't know that that was your purpose, if you didn't know that that's why God made you, if you didn't know that's why he woke you up this morning, then I alert you to this reality that God made us instruments of praise. That's why he put his spirit in you. Amen, so that you could praise him. That's why he put his spirit in you, so that you could know him. And once you know him, you ought to be compelled to praise him. In recent years, I've been reading a lot and hearing a lot about mental health issues among church folk. A lot of pastors over the past few years have committed suicide. And a lot of Christians, amen, are dealing with mental health issues. And there are a lot of books out there that deal with mental health and happiness on the part of the saints. I believe that if Christians would learn how to praise God, learn how to praise him right, I believe a lot of folk would be healed. And I'm not just talking about physical healing, amen, that will be an outgrowth of it, but I think that if we learn how to praise God, we wouldn't have so much depression, we wouldn't have so much anxiety when God's people would learn how to give him praise. Do I have a witness today? I just watched a report on the news this morning. They were saying that there's a disorder called irritable bowel syndrome. And a lot of people deal with irritable bowel syndrome, and they've discovered that the problem is not in the stomach or the gut, as they said. They said the reason folk are dealing with these digestive problems is because they are anxious and worried and nervous about stuff happening in their lives. And on the report this morning, they said what they're doing now, instead of giving folk medicine to deal with the irritable bowel syndrome, they are teaching them how to meditate. They're teaching them how to take the focus off of their problems and off of their situations and off of their circumstances. Now, y'all know the psychologists are telling them to think about all the wrong stuff. But I think that if the world could think about inanimate stuff and all kind of crazy stuff and relieve them of this disorder, I think that if church folk would take our minds off of our problems, take our focus off of our problems, and put our focus on God, I believe I have some witnesses here today who will tell you that prayer will change things and praise will help you to get your spirit right. Do I have a witness today? Because all meditation is taking your mind off your problem and putting it somewhere else. And I believe that's what David was talking about when David said, I don't care what other folk are going to do. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. If you're here today and you're burdened down, if you're depressed, if you're anxious, I dare you, I double dare you to start giving God praise, to start telling God thank you, to start blessing his name. And is there anybody here who believes that praise has the power to redeem you in the midst of your trouble? Christians ought to learn how to praise the Lord. Let me tell you why. Amen. Amen. Because God created us, watch this, to be God-centered. Only a man who is out of fellowship with God is a self-centered man. And when a man puts the emphasis on himself, when a man puts the emphasis on his ego, that man becomes self-centered. Now watch it, watch it. When a man becomes self-centered, he's going to become defensive because his God, talking about him, amen, is there on the throne. And he's got to defend his God. First, he becomes self-centered. Then he becomes defensive. Sound like anybody? And after he becomes defensive, he then becomes hostile when he feels that self is being attacked. And then he may even become aggressive or aggressively hostile and strike out at other people. Sound like anybody? And then other people withdraw from him, which causes him to draw back into himself And the cycle is repeated over and over until that individual literally makes himself the center of his own life and ends up self-destructing. I've come by today to tell somebody that you better take the focus off of yourself and put the focus where it ought to be. Is there anybody here who knows that we ought to put our focus on God? Do I have a witness today? We ought to, instead of telling our God about our problems, we ought to tell our problems about our God. Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 9 and verse 24. He said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." That is, whoever becomes self-centered, egocentric, is going to lose it. "But whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it." Do you know what I found out? I found out that you cannot truly praise God without relinquishing this preoccupation with yourself. Do I have any witnesses today? When self becomes a way of life, that life falls apart. When praise becomes a way of life, rather than having self on the throne, the infinite loving God becomes the center of our being. Do you know what else I found out? I found out that you can't praise and pout at the same time. You can't praise and have a pity party at the same time. Where are my folk who can say, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me? I mean, when I put my focus on God, it has a way of elevating me out of my circumstances. It has a way of transcending me beyond my problems when I praise God. And I hope before you leave here today that if you haven't discovered the power of praise, that you'll leave here on the way to your car, skipping and jumping and praising God, like the man that was laid at the gate. When he finally experienced God in his fullness, the Bible says he couldn't help but go in the temple and get his praise on. And all some of us need to do is consider what God has already done. All we need to do is consider how far he's already brought us. And I believe that a praise bell will start ringing in your heart and in your soul. And it won't matter who looks at you. It won't matter what folks say about you. When I think about Jesus and all he's done for me, I get the can't help it, and I got to give him praise. Give him praise. Praise reverences the Lord. Praise refreshes the saints. But then praise releases our faith. Without faith, it is impossible, right, to please God. Do you know that thing that gives your faith a vitamin shot? It's praise. As you begin to praise the Lord, faith begins to grow because praise is faith turned inside out. Notice how this psalm picks up on this. In verse 4, it says, "He telleth the number of the stars," that is, he knows every one of them. "He calleth them all by their names." I'm talking about billions, trillions of stars. He has a personal name for every star. "Great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Therefore, the Lord lifted up the meek." Now, that don't move you because you don't see it like I see it. And so I'm going to try to help you see what it's really saying. Amen. It's simply saying that when you get to concentrating on just how great and how magnificent God is, I'm talking about the one who scooped up the seas and heaped out the mountains. I'm talking about the one who hung up the moon and the sun and flung out the stars and runs this mighty universe. And then you remember that that same God is the God who lifts you up. It's the same God who loves you. He's the same God who knows you. Not only does he call the stars by name, but the Bible says that the very hairs on your head are numbered. When you come into this knowledge about God, you're going to find that your faith in him grows more and more. The same God who separated day from night. The same God who put the wet in water and the green in grass. The same God that went to Calvary's cross Let him drive nails in his hands, drive nails in his feet. The same God that hung, bled, and died. You ought to tap yourself on the chest and say, he loves me. And if that don't increase your faith, I don't know what will. He was willing to die for me. He paid it all for me. And then what ought you to do? You ought to give him praise. You ought to tell him thank you. You ought to worship him. Where are my worshipers at today? Faith is the byproduct of praise. I'll tell you what else faith does. It not only releases our faith, it also reflects our thankfulness. Amen. I don't think that there's a greater sin to me than the sin of ingratitude. That's when you do stuff for folk and they don't have enough sense to come back and say thank you. Anybody know anything about ingratitude? Amen. Well, guess what? We are the children of the Most High God. And if I started naming all the stuff, if I started listing, if I started enumerating all the things that God has done for me, y'all would have to leave me up in here by myself because praise would break out. When I think about all that he's done for me, I'm compelled to give him praise, and I don't want to be ungrateful. I want to tell him thank you. Amen, amen. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, sing unto the Lord the thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God who covereth the heavens with clouds and prepareth rain for the earth and maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. Now, what is this saying? It is God that gives us all things richly to enjoy. Amen. Every blessing I have, come on, God did it. That house you live in, God did it. That car you drive, amen, amen. I know you're paying the note every month, but if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to meet the note. So you ought to just go on and say, God did it. That suit you have on or the clothes you have on, that dress you have on, whatever it is that I have, whatever blessings I have, I've got to say, God did it. And that ought to make me want to give him praise. Because praise shows my thankfulness. Is there anybody thankful today? Is there anybody thankful that God saved you? Is anybody thankful that God woke you up this morning? Is anybody thankful that he put clothes on your back, food on your table, running in your feet, joy in your heart, a praise on your lips? You ought to give him praise today. Amen. Some of you are sitting there like you don't know what God has done. That's why he won't bless you, because you're mean mugging him instead of giving him praise. That's why he won't bless your children, because you sit there and act like you made it by yourself. But everybody with a little sense who knows that God did it, I dare you, I double dare you, give him praise in this place. I'm closing. But before I close, I want to put a plug in here since it's Veterans Day. I want to put a plug in here for our veterans. Sometimes we grumble about how much things cost here in the good old U.S. of A. Anybody ever been guilty of that? Talking about how high the prices are? I heard somebody say that a man went to a grocery store with a shopping bag full of money and came home with a wallet full of groceries. You get that when you get home. I was doing some reading, and I found out that in Russia, a man has to work an hour to earn enough money to buy a loaf of bread. In America, the average man works 6 minutes to buy a loaf of bread. Amen, amen. For a quart of milk in Russia, they work 1 hour and 11 minutes. In America, to buy a quart of milk, the average person works 9 minutes. In Russia, in order to buy a suit of clothes, the Russian has to work 583 hours. An American works, amen, an average of 38 hours to buy a suit of clothes. A cotton dress in Russia, and I don't even think y'all wear a cotton dress. You do? All right. Well, a cotton dress in Russia, they have to work amen, 225 hours. The American works 4 hours. I tell you, we're so blessed. As we thank God on this day, let us pause to once again thank our veterans who've served valiantly so that we can continue to enjoy the many blessings that we have here in the good old U.S. of A. I tell you, we're blessed, and we're blessed, we're blessed, we're blessed, and we ought to tell God thank you. But then there's one other thing praise will do. According to this psalm, praise resists our enemies. We've got enemies, and if you don't know that you've got enemies, you better open your eyes. Amen. Even this church has enemies. And I'm talking about every Bible-believing Christian in America and in the world. We all have enemies. Amen. Amen. But when you look at the 10th verse of this 147th number of Psalms, it says, he delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. Now, what are all these verses talking about? Well, when he was talking about the legs of a man, he's talking about a man's strength to run and fight. The strength of a horse is talking about armament and weapons and all of that. He's saying that these are not the things that God takes pride in. Amen. These are not the things that God glories in. These are not the things that God gets pleasure out of. The thing that is going to protect America is not just the Pentagon. Amen. Not just our weapons of warfare. But the thing that is going to protect America is when we learn how to praise God as a nation of godly people. Somebody asked the question, who will lead America out of the mess that we're in? Who can we elect? Who can we vote for? Well, y'all know that I believe in voting, and I believe in electing the right people for office. But I've got to tell you that there is no person who's going to deliver us from the mess that we're in. The only answer for our problems, we've got to turn to God. We've got to learn how to lift him up. We've got to learn how to go to God in prayer. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad to know that the devil gets uncomfortable whenever praise is going on. If you don't mind, let me say it like this. The devil is allergic to praise. The Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. And all that's saying is that if you're looking for God, if you're trying to find out where he resides, all you got to do is find a place or create a place where praise is going on. And I believe I have some witnesses here who found out that when the devil gets on your trail, all I got to do to mess him up is to start giving praise to God. Because when you praise God, he will show up. Do I have a witness today? And so, people of God, I come by just to tell you that every believer ought to give God the praise, and it ought not take a praise team for you to want to praise him. No one should have to pump you up. Nobody should have to prod you in order for you to give God praise. Well, preacher, tell me how to get praise started. Just start thinking about all that he's done for you. Just start thinking about how many ways he's made, how many doors he's opened, and where my witness is at, who will tell you that praise will start showing up. Praise, praise, praise. If you want to send the devil on his way, start praising him.
I dare you right now, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your problem, in the midst of your situation, if you want to be delivered, start praising God right now.